us stand together, if you will. Bow our heads, we open the service. Lord and Savior, Lord, truly we love and adore you. Lord, it's a great honor and a privilege that you've given us this opportunity to gather together. Lord, take a time to stop. Lord, meditate on what you've done for us. Lord, in the quietness of thy spirit, bless each and every one that's gathered. Keep your Lord, may your will be done in every life. Every thought we have, may it be you. Lord, may we show our love not only by speaking. Lord, you said, he that loved me will keep my commandments. Lord, by thy grace, Father, may each and every one be found doing that. We love you. Have your way, Lord. Service, Lord, may you just glorified in everything that's said and done. We ask in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Turn with me, if you would, in our, let's see, it's Capstone Books, page 29. Amen. Take my hand, precious Lord. Don't want to take a step without him, saints.
When my way groweth drear, precious Lord, linger near. When my life is almost gone, hear my cry, hear my call.
Presence of the Lord is here.
I see glory on each
footprints of Jesus.
Footprints of Jesus leading the way. Footprints of Jesus by night and by day. And if I
all stand there. Sing, of course, only believe. Ask our brother to come.
Only believe. Only believe. All things are possible.
Precious Lord, we're just thankful for this opportunity that you've granted us to coming together, Lord, with saints of like precious faith around your precious word. And Lord, we've just come tonight asking you to speak to our hearts with these few words you've laid upon my heart, and praying, Lord, that through this renewing of our minds back to the precious word, that Lord, it'll stir our hearts, Father, and cause us to draw closer to you. And Father, continue to give us strength to press the battle, Lord, that we would run this race that you've set before us. And Lord, that we would push for the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. And Father, we commit ourselves unto you for service, Lord, and we just ask you to bless your word to our hearts now. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Oh, aren't you happy? Amen. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Amen. How do I know? Because he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I'll be in the midst. Amen. While you're still standing, if you would, we'll turn over to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Read a verse of scripture and you can be seated. Just a little exhortation this evening. Praying that it'll strengthen you. We see the time in which we're living. You know, I appreciate the things our brother was saying Sunday and seeing how that ought to just be striking our hearts to see the hour. And with that, just hoping this will kind of go along with that. But then Matthew 7, and we'll start here at the 23rd verse. Or I'm sorry, let me back up to the 21st verse of the 7th chapter. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. May the Lord bless and redeem his word, and you may be seated. Yes, and just thinking along these lines, I had taken a small text a couple Sundays ago, whatever it was, when I was up north preaching, of believing and obeying. And you know, our precious brother here, his brother DeLong, has brought so many wonderful quotes and things to show us the things that are laying within God's precious word and doing his due diligence as a pastor to us. And as we, each one as individuals, sit here under the ministry that God has placed here for us, how it's so easy. And as you look around, you see so many, and we see where we came from in times past, of people that said they believed the word, but they had no depth or foundation in themselves. Yes, and how that when it came time for a test or a trial came along, they wanted to run back to the pastor. What should I do? Where should I go? How do I turn to? Yes. And as we realize that the age and time in which we're living, the maturity that's got to be coming into that little bride, and realizing we've got to come to that place to where we can stand with the full armor of God as an individual. Realizing it's wonderful to come here as brothers and sisters. It's wonderful together here. But we're going to stand before God as an individual. And it's not where I went to church. It's not who my pastor was. It's not what I did for the church. It's not going to be how much did I do for the poor over here or over there. But it's how much was every word of God manifested through my life. And as we think about these things, you know, Brother Branham made this quote, and I'll just refresh your mind to it. Our pastor's quoted this many times, but I liked how Brother Branham said it in the indictment, and this was preached July 7th, 1963, paragraph 265. But he said, now what did they do? They didn't know it. Today men walk ignorantly, and they don't know that's the truth. They think it's some kind of an ism, and they don't dig down deep enough to get into the spirit of revelation. And they don't pray enough, and they don't call upon God enough. They just take it lightly. And oh well, I believe there's a God, sure. The devil believes the same thing. The devil believes it more than some people claim to believe it. The devil believes it and trembles. And people just believe it and go on. But the devil trembles knowing his judgment is coming. And people believe it and don't pay no attention to the judgment coming. And how, as our pastor was speaking Sunday, how that ought to be in our hearts as we're looking to make preparations to bypass that judgment. Yes. We're receiving our judgment now here in the house of God. Yes. And every time we come in those precious doors and sit underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit and have God speak to us, we're measuring ourselves up by the word and letting the word weigh out and measure out and beat the greenness and cut out the dross. Yes.
anything that may not be like Christ, that would be living in or still manifesting itself through our lives. Amen. And you know, was thinking as I was traveling home this evening and seeing the greenery that's starting to come forth, and as Jesus spoke a little bit more, if we'll just back up here in Matthew just to catch it, we've all read it many times, but it's always good to refresh our minds back to God's Word. But we'll just start here at the 13th verse real quick, and he says, "Enter ye in, it's a straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. But ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. And every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, whereby their fruits ye shall know them. And he says, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into it, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? But then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. But therefore, whosoever hear the sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock." Yeah. And how that ought to, the foundation of God's precious word laying here. And truly seeing God sent a prophet and vindicated him in this age, to bring this word to our attention, to catch our attention with it. And even then, my confidence is not just in William Branham alone, but to the one he was pointing me to when he stood here and said, "This is what God has said, thus saith the Lord." And as that word began to come forth, it began to strike the hearts of every believer, wherever they were all over this earth. And those little believers raised up and said, "That's just what I've been waiting on." And how that word has come into them, and it's changed their way of thinking. It's changed everything about them. It's changed the way they look at life. It's changed the way they respond to situations. The word in Christ in them, bringing their bodies under subjection to God's precious word, bringing forth a personal vindication to each and every one. Oh, how it ought to strike our hearts. You know, Brother Branham, in the message, "Christ is the Mystery of God Revealed," it just renew your mind to this. We've read it many times. We'll start at paragraph 478. Amen. And if nothing else, just pray that God's word will strike your heart. We'll just let it listen to what he was saying. I know you've heard it, but he says, 478, this was preached July 28, 63. "Listen and listen close now. I want you not to fail to get this. No other church, no other sign, no other fellowship, no other government, no other testimony, no other creed, and no denomination is accepted outside of this. God accepts nothing else, but that's Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the only thing God recognizes." And he seems like he's repeating himself, but he was wanting to drive it home. And he says, "No fellowship, no church, no creed, no denomination, no nothing. Everything else is dead. It's fragments that has to be cut off, pruned off, and away from the thing that Christ might live with preeminence in you. Not referring back, I got one limb here that says it's my organization. That's got to be cut off too. I've got my so-and-so here. This says this. My mother will tell me I'm a holy roller. That's got to be cut off too. I know my husband wants me to wear these shorts. That's got to be cut off too. It's got to be cut off and pruned till there's just you and Christ alone. Think, by the living presence of the living Christ, by the living word, oh, a living Christ, a living presence, a living word, watch, by his own personal vindication, proves his church." Amen. Think about it. It's not what I can prove. It's not what you can prove, but it's what he will prove through you as we yield ourselves to him as living sacrifices and provide him with just a body to use. He says,
not members. He never done it in the days of Moses. He never done it in the days of anybody else. At the end of the world, when it come to the place where it was the destruction, the days of Lot, it wasn't membership. It was a personal vindication. God in flesh, the personal vindication. Remember, think of it, that a people born of his spirit in a day like this, in this great denominational age that we live, and the living God takes his living word and vindicates it personally. This life that's in the word, the germ that's in the seed, and the word is a seed that a sower went forth to sow, and the life is Christ in the word, personally in you, vindicating something that you cannot do, proving himself that it's not you, but it's him, and you become a love slave to him to be a bride. Yeah. Thanks be to the living God who created the heavens and earth and all that's in the midst. No wonder he is Alpha and Omega, the beginning, the ending, that which was, which is, and shall come, the root and offspring of David, yes, the bright and morning star. He is all in all. And his presence in the individual, with a personal vindication of himself, expressing himself, the living word that's promised for the day, expressing itself through you, a vindication of the great revelation of God. Mm-hmm. Look, only in an individual, never in a group. An individual, not a group. His identification is with an individual. You get that? Not with the Methodists, not with the Baptists, not with the Presbyterian, not the Lutheran, not the Pentecostals, but as an individual. Mm-hmm. And oh my, you know, there's only about three paragraphs right there, and you could take a million sermons out of there. But how, as Brother Branham, even if you listen to this on the tape, as the inspiration was striking him and he was driving that home, how it ought to strike our hearts. Amen. And how it ought to put such a precious zeal in us to realize, as I said, there's many people claiming to believe many things that's written in the scriptures and their life shows nothing of it. They're claiming to believe God sent a prophet and they won't listen to a thing he had to say. It's for another time. It's for another age. And not just the prophet of this age. Think back to what Peter said. Starting in the book of Acts. Repent, be baptized. If you've got that desire burning and you have a longing and your heart's been pricked, follow God's instructions and watch God do the rest. Yes. And is in every aspect there is back through here. Let's just turn over to Peter in the first chapter here real quick and catch something Peter was saying here. How it's just become such a, you know, there's people losing sight of what God has done. And some have got so caught up in matching what did the prophet say with words and trying to, well, he said this and it couldn't be that. And they've went all kinds of avenues and people are falling away like flies and they don't believe he was a prophet anymore. And all these things that are happening around us. And yes, some of them jumped, and we've seen them shout. We've seen them run up and down the aisles. But Brother Branham, God sent a prophet. Now, Brother Branham was the mouthpiece that was speaking, but God was telling a little bride, I've seen heathens dance in the aisles. I've seen them run on beds of coals. I've seen all of these things happen. Yes. And it wasn't the genuine Holy Spirit that was doing that. He was warning us. God himself was calling out to that little bride, saying, don't you be caught up. Don't be deceived. Don't let that waver you. I meant what I said. He that believeth and doeth the will of my Father, he it is that loveth me. Amen. Oh, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Yes. How is God's word is just going around and around. And you know, you think people, even when we read with the things Paul said in the book of Acts, you know, kind of getting carried away, I guess, but maybe I'll slow down. But you know, when you think about Brother Smith and his going back into the book of Acts, and it's so easy to take that book and just listen and say, oh, we're reading out of the book of Acts again. We're hearing the same thing. We know about Ananias and Sapphira. We know what Peter and John did at the lame gate. But that was God beginning to work in individuals. Yes, showing forth that he could have the preeminence, amen, in that church, and he would have. Yes. And as that's taking place, and as I said, do we truly stop to think that God said if there would ever put forth another limb off of that, another branch, they would write another book of Acts behind it? Do we truly stop and think about the very life I have lived today Have I done one thing? Has God been able to express in one way of my life that would be worthy to be written down in the book of Acts?
Yes, amen.
You know, it's, and you say, well, I ain't got, we're not going to heal people. We're not going to raise people. I'm not talking about that. Has your life reflected brotherly kindness, love, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, patience, forgiving one another, loving one another? Has someone today been able to truly see the expression of Jesus Christ in me and you? You know, it brings it down personal. It's good to look back and to see all God did in history. It's good to see and to see the examples all down through the Old Testament. It's good to see what God did in our prophet in bringing the word for this day. But it's our day to finish the work, as our pastor was saying Sunday. You've got to see that today it's got to become personal. It's not just a story. It's just not a message on a page. It's just not something we're going to talk about. But it's a reliving reality. It's something that's taken us over. It's something that's consumed us. It means more to us than the very breath we breathe. To see God made manifest in my life. To see Him have the preeminence and take the things that I couldn't overcome, to see Him through me overcome those things. And know that the Bible said He would grant the overcomer to sit with Him in His throne. Oh, what a consolation it ought to place in our hearts to see that I'm not what I was. And I may not be what I want to be, but I know by God's grace I'm on a journey. I will get there. I can see that the work has started and He will finish what He's begun. Here in 1 Peter, and let's just catch this about the 12th verse. Peter speaking here, he says, unto whom it was revealed, 1 Peter, 1st chapter, 12th verse, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them which have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversations received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by Him do believe in God that raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And all as he hit just those few notes of seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. Oh, may it truly burn in our hearts. As I've said many times, and I know I've said it here before, this book is a great book of instruction. And it carries everything I've got need of. And oh, if we would but study the pages. And oh, if we would but, I believe you sang the song, Footprints of Jesus Leading the Way. If I would but follow, my life would be sweet. Oh, following Jesus and His wounded feet. And what it was we following right here. Everything He's left for us is laying right in front of us. And what an opportunity we have. You know, so many are caught up in that glare of the rearview mirror, looking back to a time and a place that's come and gone. A time and a purpose God had for great signs to be taking place. There was a great revival in the land. That's all took place for a purpose. But that revival that burned through the land has come down into the heart of a little elected. And that little elected is the revival in this hour. In herself, she is burning. She is on fire. Her love is fervent. It's white hot for Jesus Christ. He is her first love.
And she is desiring nothing else but to see this word made manifest in her life. Amen. And oh, is it? It's a concern that truly is evident, and it shows forth that that's the full desire of her heart. And oh my, as individuals, only you and I can look into our own lives and say, Lord, is that me? Or am I not interested in him having that preeminence? Maybe I don't care. I'm just going through life. I've always went to church. I knew God sent a prophet. I've just done this. This has just become my thing. But has it become a fervent desire to me as an individual? You know, we see so many that get so excited. They jump and they run and they do all kinds of things underneath the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will make you run. It'll make you jump. It'll make you cry. God is sovereign. When his Holy Spirit sends it down on this human flesh, you will do whatever may be there to be done. I don't know. We've seen it. You know, you can go back through the many examples in the scriptures and see what the Holy Spirit has done. You can look at how on the prophet it reacted. And many different times as he would tell, you know, he was out in the woods and he went around and around that tree. And today, people want to remanufacture just that excitement. But when they come off of the platform or they get back to daily living, they're not concerned with every word that God had to speak. They don't care that the life's not there. And how God, through a prophet in this age, called it out before there ever was, when he gave us the two examples of clean back then in the movement of the Pentecost, of the two brothers that he thought were genuine. Yes. Oh, God has not left us here to be blind. We are not in darkness, but we are children of the light by God's grace. Amen. Only his mercy and grace has revealed his word to us and placed it down inside that it's not a, oh, look what I've got, but look what God's shown me by his mercy and grace. And oh, how humble it makes us feel, how little it makes us feel to realize that without him, I am nothing. But oh my, with him I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, can you just look, if you go back and read the things Paul had to say, if you just go back and look at what where God brought him from, and the grace that he had saw bestowed in his life, and the change that he saw God make in his life. And oh, if anybody had room to boast, he had it with all that God had done through him. But he said, I'm the least of these. And oh my, how God, the Holy Spirit will just make you see how little you truly are. But today, all we seem to be able to get anymore is a bunch of stuffed shirts. People that want to be puffed up. They want to lift themselves up. They want to be seen. They want people to recognize them as their place in office. But oh, God sent a prophet that worked mightily and even had his picture taken with him. And oh my, that prophet never acted like that. Oh, you never seen him puffed up. You never seen him wanting his name up in lights. But oh my, he was just there to be humble. And oh, what an example God has set for us that today we would be like that. Amen. Let's see here. Brother Branham had made this quote, and our pastor mentioned this Sunday a little bit, I think it was. Or it might have been Thursday evening, but just to, something to always bear in mind. This was in the Voice of the Sign, preached March 21st, 64. And paragraph 177. He said, this man said, they believe you to be a prophet. Why don't you teach them how to receive great spiritual gifts and how to do things for God? Why don't you teach them that if you are a prophet? And I said, how can I teach them algebra when they won't learn their ABCs? And you know what ABCs means? Always believe Christ. Uh-huh. How are you going to do that? See, you want to get way up there instead of being way down here. God will build his church upon the foundation of Jesus Christ, and that's the Bible. Yes. And outside of that, all other ground is sinking sand. God doesn't change his nature. God doesn't change, and his nature doesn't change. And oh, what a consolation that gives us. But how it ought to strike our hearts to, you know, as we read God's word and know that if God is dealing with my heart, the Holy Spirit is striking my heart, I feel a drawing. Follow the instructions we've been given. Yes. Maybe I ain't all the way where I need to be, but clean up your life. Set yourself aside. Separate yourself from things of the world and get in tune with the Holy Spirit and give God an opportunity. We clutter our lives so much with things of the world that God can't speak to us. But if we'll push those things aside and push it away and make a channel, maybe God can move in your life. Maybe he'll bring a change that you didn't think could happen.
but something that you would long to see done.
Amen. Let me see here. I had a quote here. It just struck my heart. Amen. Yes. But how we should follow in that. But this was in the message. God's word calls for a total separation of unbelief. And this was preached January 21st, 64, paragraph 28. He says, "You live in this city here with these great schools, and we see our nation calling for a higher standard of education, which is all right. Nothing to say about that. But that education cannot give you salvation. A scientist can split a grain of wheat and tell you how many different chemicals is in it, but it can't find the life that's in there. An education can learn you or teach you mathematics, and it can teach you history and whatever more, but it cannot bring light to you. Your education will not do that. God has one way of bringing light to you, and that's when you're ready to separate yourself from all the things of the world, the cares of the world, and cling only to God's promised word. Paul was a Nazarite unto the Lord, and he separated from his Orthodox church to the word of the living God. Aaron was a Nazarite unto the Lord, and he was separated from among the brethren to bear the birthstones and to be the high priest. It is a total separation. We're not to go back into the world no more or have anything to do with the world, but cleave only unto God. Jesus is coming after a bride, a woman, a church that's separated from the things of the world or the cares of the world. She is separated from the fashions of this modern age that we live in. She is separated from the cares and the traditions of the church. And she is separated only to God, and God is the Word, and as a husband and wife is one, so does the bride and the Word become one. For the Word is living through the bride. And that's her credentials, that's her identification. If I could pull out a PhD or an LLD and show you my credentials from some certain organization or from some school, that school would recognize that credential. But the only credential that a believer has is the Word of God living in him, declaring Jesus Christ lives in that person, and that's a separated Nazarite unto the Lord, separated for the word's sake. Yes. And I pray each one of us can truly want that in our lives, to be a separated and called out people, that every word means just that much to me. Yes. Every time that the doors are open and I have the opportunity to come, Brother Branham told us that a true believer, you couldn't keep him out. Oh, they're just waiting for those doors to open. You know, I stopped to get a haircut this week, and it just never ceases to amaze me of all the places you can get a haircut. And people were lined at the door before they had even opened. They were lined up to get in there to get a haircut. And it's like, oh my goodness, look at how much effort them people put in to get up and get in there and get in line to wait to be the first one in the door to get their first haircut. But here lays God's word, and sometimes we won't even put forth the first effort for anything for God. But how it ought to be showing forth in our lives that we're doing it all. We're right there. We're struggling to be in line, first in place, to do whatever we can and whatever God wants for us in our lives. And oh my, this world can have this old world. They go stand in line for many events. They'll stand in line to get the best deal on a gun at Cabela's. They'll go stand in line to be the first one into a NASCAR race or whatever's going on at the world. They'll stand for hours, camp out overnight to get the best benefit. And God's benefits are laying here free and clear, and sometimes we won't even put one foot forward to get to it. God is looking, though, for a true, genuine believer that, oh, it's not pushing back, but there's something within inside and pulling them all the way to it. And, oh, my, it shows forth in their life every day. May we be guilty of that. Amen. May God truly shine it down on our hearts. Hallelujah. Let's see. Amen. This was in the Entombment, preached April 20th, 1957. He just made this little quote on paragraph 16. He said, "Oh, if the church could ever get to the place where it could solemnly rest upon God's eternal word to be the truth, what a difference there would be. What a correcting there would be. And what a cutting away there would be, and what a joy there would be, what a power there would be when men and women would take God at face value, what he said is the truth, no matter what the circumstances look like,
That has nothing to do with it. God said it, and that settles it. And oh, if we could but apply that in our lives to every situation, worry would go out the window. A lot of stress would go out the window. There'd be many things if we could but truly anchor our heart that God said. And truly believe it with all that's in us and ask God not just to let me believe it because I intellectually read it and heard it on that page, but dip it into my heart, Lord, with a reality. Oh my, you know, God is so gracious and so wonderful, so powerful, what he can do for us. But oh my, as Peter, you know, Peter put it over here in the, let's see here. This is Peter here in the second chapter, the second book of Peter, and we'll begin here the third chapter, and just catch what he was saying here in closing. We read this not too long ago, so I just let me catch down. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, 10th verse. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to his promise were looking for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that you be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. And oh my, when we have the opportunity to pick up this precious Bible and to pick up these books and to begin to read, you know, it's got to the point many don't want to read the quotes because they feel like they're just repeating a man. But they don't realize that that's just another book placed right there that's brought more understanding to a bride. And all, each thing that was written, God allowed it to be written for our admonition and how we should take full advantage of it and make sure that I don't care if he, as I said, when you can read it and it seems like he repeated and he repeated and he repeated himself, but he was trying to drive home a point. Get to the understanding of what God has given to us. Oh, it ought to strike our hearts, saints. Hey, man, you sisters can come to the instruments. I've been getting a bad habit of running over 30 minutes, so we'll cut her short here this evening. But may something strike our hearts as we continue on. As I said, may we truly be the revival that's burning. May our lives be that. It's, you know, so many have just decided to jump on the bandwagon, so to speak. And they just want the excitement. And they're all excited while they're maybe up underneath the anointing. But what about coming down out of it and going back out into every day? Amen. What about Jesus? How did he, dragging an old wooden cross up the streets of Jerusalem, he was still manifesting. As a lamb led to slaughter, he opened not his mouth. Right. Drugged that cross, they beat him, they spit on him, they mocked him, they scoffed him. But his life never gave way. It held in the strong. And oh, may we truly be representatives today that our life, no matter what we're facing, no matter the trial, no matter how tough, may it truly be evident that Jesus Christ is in control. Amen. Let's all stand if you would. Oh, he's so precious. Amen. Let's just sing that little chorus. To me, he is so wonderful as our brother comes. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To me, he is so wonderful. To how I love Jesus.
a beautiful love story. Amen. He first loved me. Oh, how we love him. Amen. As just kind of a little ending to what he said. Again, as Paul said, and he mentioned at the very beginning, Brother Timothy did, I press toward the mark. What was the mark? The goal. There's always a goal at the end of a race that you've got to reach. I press toward the mark of the prize, of the high calling in Christ Jesus. May we press, and may what we heard tonight again stir our hearts to continue to press like we never have in our life. Amen. Let us bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, again, we are so thankful that you made it possible that we could be here this evening. Lord, it's just something inside of us you placed there, Lord, as the prophet even said, and our brother mentioned it, couldn't wait till those doors open where we could go in into the house of the Lord and see what you have for us. Lord, we're so thankful that you give that to us. And Father, from one service to the next, we can't wait till the next one, just to see what you have for us, Lord, and to see if there's a short place in our life that we need to mend or take care of to get where you want us to be. Well, Father, through all this, we continue to call on you for revelation. Revelation of the Word of God. So we just pray that you'll just open our hearts again, Lord, if you should tarry coming Sunday. Lord, open our hearts to the Word of God. May each one of us as individuals, Lord, be calling on you. That, Lord, you be not fed from the Word of God. To grow higher in Christ and further on in what we are. Ask that you would grant that now. And go with us again as we try to make our journeys home and travels, Lord. Keep us safe upon the highways. And Lord, again, we just thank you for everything. In thy Son's name, our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. Praise the Lord. Keep loving him because he first loved you.